You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
All right, look to your neighbor. I want you guys to say praise, praise, praise. Look at your neighbor. Come on, say it, say it. Yeah, there you go, there you go. Look to your other neighbor and say, praise, praise, praise. Man, Mom, we grew up as kids. We used to listen to that song, praise, praise, praise the Lord. You guys know that song? Ooh, now you guys don't know it. Carlton Pearson. Listen, praise. I've talked about this before, and I got to talk about it again. But today, the sermon title, if you're taking notes, and I encourage you to take notes today, because I'm going to talk about something that literally will transform your life. And I'm not saying that as like this, just to catch your ear. This is like scientifically proven to change your life. They've done study after study. And how many guys would like your life to be better? Even when it's good, how many guys want it better? Isn't that good? So we're going to talk about this. So I encourage notes, but if you're going to take notes, the title today is The Power of Praise. Everyone say, Power of Praise. I'm going to make you talk, so if you don't like talking, my bad. Listen, praise is super important. Praise is when you lift somebody else up. You declare who they are. You declare their goodness, all right? Now, how many of you guys have ever talked trash on somebody? How many of you guys ever talked trash on somebody? You can raise your hand. Yeah, yeah. Why did I get more? I said earlier about the Bible believing, no one moved. I say talk trash, everyone's like, yeah, oh yeah, man. Well, we like trash talk. I love it, man. And this is what trash talk is when you talk about the negative side on somebody, okay? And so when I say trash talk, though, I'm not just talking about pointing something out that's going to help someone and benefit them. You know, for instance, if someone came up to me, I get this all the time. There's people in our church whom I seriously have the most respect for, Sylvia and Fernando. Where did Sylvia go? You know, I go to call her out and she leaves. She knew what was coming up. These guys, huh? Don't tell, that's your mom. Don't rat your mom out. Yeah. She's not in the restroom. She's smoking a cigarette outside. Yeah, that's what. Anyways, Sylvia and Fernando, these guys will point out things to me all the time. I'll be preaching, and you know, one time I remember, I'll never forget it. I kept apologizing for how long I was going. Hey, Sylvia, how was that cigarette? Was it good? Just kidding, Sylvia. Get in here. Sylvia, I'm talking about you. And so I was always apologizing. Guys, I'm going too long. And Sylvia and Fernando pulled me to the side and said, Pastor Tommy, we just need to correct you real quick. You need to preach as long as the Lord has you. And I remember them telling me that, going, okay, thank you. You guys are the best, right? And there's a place where that's not trash talk, where you're telling someone for the benefit of everybody in themselves something that's negative that needs to turn into a positive. Now, that's not trash talk. Trash talk is when you seriously be down and out someone. For instance, saying things that aren't truth, but maybe your opinion. How many of you guys got that friend who says, I'm just being honest, but they're always just telling their opinion? You know what I'm saying? I just love the truth. You ugly. It's like, no, bro, you just got a bad opinion and you want everyone to know it, right? So that's the opposite of praise. Praise is when you go behind someone's back or you stand before them and you say things like, I'm going to talk about my dad for a second. For 70 years old, he is by far the strongest guy I know. And I'm not joking. I told you guys last week that story. I saw him pick up a kid and slam him on a table. That wasn't a kid. He was 22 years old. It sounds like he was abusive, but it was like a playful abuse, you know, that's what it was. And he's like the strongest guy I've ever met. And as long as I remember in Ruth, California, I must have been 7 years old. My brothers were around and we had a bench press in our garage because we were tight like that. And he had, honestly, I think it was just one plate. So it's like 140 pounds or something like that. But my dad was just, oh, boom, press him. I remember as a kid looking at him going like, oh my gosh, you know, there is no one stronger than my dad. And till this day, I still tell everyone the strongest guy I know is my dad. He's 70 years old. I'm going to keep saying that because there's something crazy about a man who's 70 years old who I'm still afraid of. All right? And it's true, though. That's praise, where you're acknowledging somebody's great attributes, where you're acknowledging who they are. And so today, though, I want to talk to you just about the benefits of giving praise, and not just to one another, though. How many guys who are married in here have realized that praise is seriously the best thing in the world? Have you guys noticed that? Where my husband's at? You guys, if you don't know that, you need to learn something real quick. The best thing I've ever done in a fight, just real quick story. Me and my wife are in the car and we're arguing. We're mad at each other, all right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I see some head shakes. Okay, well, I see you over there. Yeah. And there's no one in my life who I get madder at than my wife, okay? Now, there's no one I love as much as my wife either. She gets the full spectrum of my emotions, okay? And vice versa. And I remember we're in the car, and we were just mad. And, you know, when you're mad, you say stupid things. You know, you just start, you know, we're arguing. Honestly, we're arguing because I'm not a great driver, but she makes sure to know that I know that by grabbing onto the handle every 10 seconds. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? And I was just mad. I was just, oh, no, no, no. Well, you're going too fast. It's a red light. You're speeding up. I'm like, speeding up so I could stop faster. You know, I was like, I was arguing. And we're arguing. I'm mad at her. And I remember just thinking, it's just in my head. It must have been the Spirit of the Lord because it wasn't my flesh. Tom, just tell her how great she is. So I did. And I'm going to tell you, it was the hardest thing. It didn't come naturally, you know? Have you guys ever tried to give someone a compliment that wasn't natural, you know? Yeah, it kind of comes off a little funny. It did. It was it all the time. Chill out, man. Okay. And legit, I'm like, and I'm going to just be honest with you. I went with the most shallow words of praise I could come up with at the time. We're yelling at each other. It's a moment of silence saying, Susie, you're beautiful. You know? That didn't fix nothing. I just want you to know. Like, oh, so what? You know? You're still a reckless driver. And then I go, Susie, because I got one thing. And here's the thing about when you start praising somebody, if you just put your mind to it, more starts coming, right? So I start off with just the most obvious. I could see you. You're beautiful. And I'm thinking, Susie, you're kind. You really are nice. You're very sweet to me. That you care enough to grab everything in the car and straighten your legs out. That's very nice, you know? But no, it's true, though. Susie, I know you're not telling me that to get on my nerves. You're telling me that because you actually care for us. And as I started giving her praise, you know what happened to our relationship? We got closer. The fight started falling away. It was it. Now, I want to say this just really quick. Praising one another. I didn't know this was happening today, but praising one another is a way of building one another up. And how many of you guys know everybody wants to be built up? Everybody. But it's just more than the person next to you. While I was praising my wife, I was falling more in love with my wife. At that moment, I didn't want to talk to her. But at the end of it, I'm thinking, I want to get, where are we going? Let's turn around and go back home. You know, I don't want to party with you, dude. And that is how praise works. There's a power in it. Now, I want to talk to you about some of the things that praise produces inside of you. But before I do that, I just want you to hear me out really quick. As a church, one of the main directions that we're pushing into is worshiping God and worshiping the one true God and nothing else. And for the last year and a half, every Sunday, I get up on the stage at 10 o'clock, from 10 to about 10:05, it depends. And I get up here, and this is what I do. There's like four of us in here. How many of you guys are on? Where's my on-time people? I got mad respect for you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All you late people, whatever. Okay. You just come 10 minutes earlier. You're here. That's all you got to do, you know? But we're all on time, and we really do. We set the stage in this place, and we go, man, we're going to start praising God. And so I tell everybody, I say, yo, why don't we just start lifting up our voices and telling God how good he is, right? And I'm going to be honest with you, 99% of us are not in the mood to do it. We aren't. And it's not because we are mad at God. Most time, it's because we just got to church. We don't know who's next to us. We don't know who that stranger is four rows down, so we don't want to get loud in front of them, right? And we don't have the mood. We don't have the emotional currency to go, you know what, I'm going to lift up my voice, and we're not in the mood. But then what happens is as people start praising, right, and start lifting up their voices, people's moods start changing. And what can happen in this room when we start praising, there could be a crazy move of God in this service. And so I'm saying this whole sermon because I'm going to get back to Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. about how we come together will shift the entire church through and through. How many of you guys want to see revival in this place? Anyone in here? How many of you guys want to see moves of God that gets written down in history? I want to say this because it's important. Too many of us are asking God to move in our churches, and we forgot that God's waiting for us to move to him. And so we're saying, God, come move in my life, move in my life. He said, no, I'm already in your presence. I need you to move towards me. And so as a church, we're shifting. We're going, man, and we've been on this shift. We're going to a place going, we are going to be a church that even when we don't feel like it, even when things are tough, we're going to say, God, you are good. And we're going to declare it until our minds get in order with it. You guys down for that? But I'm not going to convince you to be a church like that without first telling you the benefits. Now, that's not a diss. I want to make this clear. How many of you guys know that God made you vessels? How many of you guys know what a vessel is, right? Now, this is what I love about vessels. I should have brought up a prop. I got a cup. A cup is a vessel. Here's the thing about the vessel of the Lord. God doesn't want the vessels that he calls just to be poured out. He wants to fill them up. And God made you somebody who's supposed to receive. Now, I'm saying that to you guys because I got to break a false humility before we get into praise. There's a false humility out there that says, God doesn't need to do anything for me. I need to pour out. I want to make this clear. You can only pour out what God's poured into you first. And you and I need to be people who are okay with receiving. And this is what I mean by okay with receiving. It's okay to receive gifts from other people. How many of you guys know that? And listen, I have a hard time receiving gifts. I do. I'm the worst. Someone will bring me a gift. And I go, oh, no, you don't have to do that. Oh, thank you. Why did you do that? You know, and I never just say, wow, thank you. I'm always denying. You didn't have to do that. Why did you do that? Oh, get your money back. Don't do that, right? And that's a false humility. God has created you and I to be people who receive. Now, there's a gospel out there being preached, and I don't want to call it a gospel. There's a people out there preaching that all you're supposed to do is receive. And that you need to get more from God. You need to get more from God. You need to get more from God. But I want to make this clear. God only gives what he could pour out. Can I say that again to you? He's only given to you what he could pour out of you. And that goes across the board. He doesn't give you forgiveness so you can hold it up. He says, I've given you forgiveness. Go forgive. Whatever I put upon you, you're supposed to go pour out upon others. Isn't that a good God? Now, I'm saying that first because as I talk about the benefits of praise, I need you to understand that the Lord wants you to pour out praise because he's ready to pour something else inside of you, all right? And what I love about this is that all this sermon is so backed up with, like, studies and science. It's like the Bible is, like, really knows, like, God really knows what he is doing when he wrote the Bible. Isn't that awesome? Declaring God's goodness. Declaring who he is to be a rightful judge. This is why every single day you and I need to be people who cut time out of our day to just praise him. All right? This is what we're talking about today. So if you're writing down notes, you need to write down, I'm going to praise God, and this is why. Number one, when you praise God, it produces humility. If you have your Bibles, go to James. Go to James chapter 4. We're going to read that in just a second. We're going to go to verse 3. Praise produces humility. I'm going to say that again. Praise produces humility. If you're writing notes, I want you to write that down. Now, I'm going to talk about humility for a second. I want to talk about praise and how it produces it, and we're going to talk about why humility is one of the greatest things you could ever have. Listen, praise is when you look at somebody and you talk about their greatness. Now, I love going out to the court on Tuesdays. There's a group. It's a basketball group. And we go out and we play ball, and I'm going to be real with you. None of us are like all-stars, okay? Pastor Clarence is the number one player. Who's on the basketball group? Pastor Clarence is probably number one right now. Number two is probably me, and then everybody else. Now, I'm going out, right, and I'm about to go play ball. And now, when I was a kid, you know, when I was a kid, I'm talking 20 years ago, when I was 14 and 15 years old, I used to play ball like crazy. Okay? That's all I did was basketball, day in, day out. It would be raining at my house, right? It'd be raining on the courts. We had outside court. So down in our basement, we had tiles. So I'd sit down there for hours, just practice dribbling, practice my handling. Then I'd go out to the court, and after school, I'd spend 3 to 4 hours every day shooting free throws and shooting shots. I was never hardly home. Basketball was my life. Well, fast forward, I'm 34 years old, and this group starts up. I'm like, man, I'm going to go out there and play some ball, dude. So I'm getting out there in my head, I'm thinking, I'm going to tear these dudes up, man. I'm coming out there because in my head, I'm still 15 years old. I think you probably noticed that with some of my humor. And so I have this idea of that I'm really good. Well, I get out in the court, right? And this is what happens. I recognize not just how bad I am. That's not what I recognize. I recognize how much better everybody else is. I start recognizing Jonathan. You know, Jonathan's on the court. This dude hustles better than anybody else I know. I'm thinking, I ran one shot, and I'm winded. I can't breathe. I'm looking at this guy going, this guy's good. I'm looking at Rashawn. Rashawn used to play football, and this guy just throws his weight around, just knocking people down. If there was a referee, he'd probably be out within the first 2 minutes, but there's no refs out there. Dude's throwing me. I'm thinking, I can't get through. And all of a sudden, what brought humility in my life was recognizing the greatness in others. Now, this is what happens when you praise God. Your arrogance, when you sit before the Lord and you recognize, God, this is who you are. Remember, praise is recognizing who someone is and their greatness and then declaring it. When I do that with the Lord God, you know what happens to me? I get back into my position. Humility comes back over me. I thought I was doing so good, and I thought I was something. I was walking around with a cocky attitude. How many of you guys know people who are prideful? They walk around, they're arrogant, they don't listen well. You know what I'm talking about? I guarantee those kind of people do not practice praise. Because when you praise God, it brings humility. And let me tell you what happens when you're humbled. And this is what it means to be humbled. It means that you recognize your rightful position before the Lord and you agree with it. That's humility. There's a lot to unpack there, and that's the whole sermon. But humility, the quickest way I can say it, is to be in total agreement with God about who he says he is and who you say you are. Total agreement. That's humility. But this is what happens when you have humility in your life. James chapter 4. This is a tough scripture. I'm going to read it to you, and we're going to pull out three things. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is saying, God saying to you and I, man, you're asking God for something, but you're not getting it because all you do is you ask in your pride. You're just selfish gain. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the who? Continue on. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. I'm going to pull out three things out of that to talk to you why you need to praise God to receive humility, because what humility will do in your life. Humility, the first thing it does is it gives you God's grace. How many of you guys want God's grace? I want to say this. Bet Dad was talking about this earlier. Some of us want the things of God, but we're not willing to pay the price. This is how you receive God's grace. You are humbled. You know what it means to receive God's grace? You're supposed to say, no, tell us. This is what grace means. It means which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness. Grace is to get God's joy and pleasure and delight inside of you. How many of you guys got kids? Anyone in here? Okay, I love my kids, all right? I got six of them. It's Jacob's birthday. Now, I'm going to say this about Jacob really quick. Jacob is smarter than me. He's 11 years old. I can't read in front of the kid. I can't do math in front of the kid. I don't know if it's because I'm nervous around him or what. But that kid, I'm reading the Bible to my kids, like trying to be a good dad. I stopped because of this. I was so humiliated. I can't pronounce a lot of these words in the Bible, okay? My dude knows how to pronounce every. It's like he took Greek classes. I didn't know it. Like, he's like going around. I'm like, the Church of Laodicea. He's like, you mean Laodicea? I don't know how to say it, actually, now that I'm trying to say it. Laodicea, whatever. Shut up, man. You guys could go be with my son. Go do something else, all right? But this is what happens when I see how intelligent he is. When I'm seeing how great of a kid he is, you know what happens? I start bragging about him to everybody. I do. When I see how great he is, I have favor upon him. No joke, no joke. When my kids are bad, my kids are fighting like crazy, and they'll come up to me and say, hey, Dad, you guys ever have Sweet Tart ropes from Quick Trip? You guys ever have Sweet Tart ropes before? It is the best candy in the world, okay? It is by far Sweet Tart ropes. Go to the gas station, buy some today. They are delicious. And me and my kids, we're hooked on it, all right? It is our cocaine, man. We just be eating that stuff. If my kids are fighting, and they're acting bad, and they're being disrespectful to me, man. And, you know, they get hot. You know, every kid, every adult, you are like this to your parents at some point. And every parent has their kids doing this at some point. And they start giving you attitude. Listen, when they ask for something like, can we go to the store and grab some Sweet Tart ropes? You better believe you have zero favor for that. Absolutely not, dude. You look at how you treat your sister. You know, you just punched her in the face because she didn't give you the Lego. You know, it's like, no. But at the same time, if my kids, and this is not a joke, this is just how parents are, right? If I'm watching my son, Jacob, and he's cleaning the house, he's coming up to my wife. This one, man, you can't, and this is true for the Lord. I just want you to know that. When he treats my wife good, you better believe I'm going to treat him good. Can I just say this really quick about you? Be careful about how you treat God's church. That is his bride. Don't be talking trash about his bride. You hear me? Now, you lift up the bride of Christ, say, oh, that's, she screwed up. Well, God bless her. That's his wife, all right? But man, when my sons are like that, can I tell you, this is what they get. They get my grace, favor. I look upon them with sweetness in my eyes. I go, oh, I adore you. What is it that you want? I want to give it to you. God says, this is what I'm giving to my children who are humble. He says, those who are humble, I give my pleasure and delight to. They become my loveliness. My goodwill and loving kindness and my favor is upon them. God is delighted in you when he says he gives you his grace. But he says, those who are proud, he says he resists them. Not he's far away from them and they can't get to him. He says, no, I push you away. How many of you guys want to be pushed away from God? That's the kind of reaction I want when I ask questions, okay? You guys all respond. That was 100% response, I think, right there. That was it. How many of you guys want his grace? How many of you guys want his favor? Check this out. It comes only with humility. And this is what praise does. Every day when you sit before the Lord and you look at him, you say, wow, God, you are so great. You stand upon the throne of heaven. It says that earth to you is your footstool. I am nothing. This is how great you are. You know every hair on my head. God, this is who you are. You are the one who goes before me and stands behind me as my rear guard. You are God. I will declare who you are. You know what happens when you start doing that? You start lining up with God and you go into your rightful position. I'm going to be humbled before you, God. You are the one who makes my path, not me. You are the one who stands in heaven, who is the good judge, not me. You see, when you praise God every day, humility will enter into your life. And when you have humility, you get God's favor. I want God's favor. Anyone else in this place want God's favor? There's more that comes out of humility, though. We just read this. Humility cures worldliness, breaks off friendship with the world. You see, when you praise the Lord and you see the Lord for who he is and aligns you up to be looking at him going, God, you are this good, you're this powerful, that means this is who I am. When you praise him, the benefit not only gives you his favor, it sets you free from worldliness. How many guys got some worldliness in you you wish you could get away from? Anyone in here? Man, sometimes we got lust. Sometimes we got lies. Sometimes we got anger problems that pop out of us. Some of us have zero self-control. And we're going, man, I got this worldliness inside of me. I got to get rid of it. Humility is the key to breaking off the bonds of worldliness. Some of us are going, I'm trying to stop sinning. I'm trying to stop sinning. I just don't know how. I don't know how. I keep telling God I'm sorry. I keep, you know, I can't stop agreeing and laughing at these, y'all, let me just hit on something that hits close to home for me. I keep laughing at these coarse jokes. No, I know I'm not supposed to be. Oh, God, I keep doing this worldly thing. And the Lord's saying, it takes humility. Well, God, how do I get humility? Start declaring who I am in your life. Just start declaring it. Some of us are looking for to be broken free from sin and bondage. And God's going, the key to that is to stand before me and just declare who I am. Get your mind right. Well, I got to keep going because there's two more things I got to hit on. Not only does it cure worldliness and break off the friendships of the world, but in that last verse, it says, God, in your favor, when you humble yourself, this is what God says. He says, I will be the one to lift you up. What does that mean to be lifted up by God? It means that you're not being lifted up by man, but God will put you up on the trophy case. When you're too weak, he says, I'll be the one who picks you up. How many of you guys want God to be your strength? Anyone in here? How many of you guys want God to be the one who picks you up out of your mess? Anyone in here? How many of you guys are sick of trying to get out of your own mess and you need God to come and lift you up? Anyone in here? Hey, this is the key. He says, it's in humility. It's in humility. In humility, he says, if you humble yourself, I will be the one who picks you up out of it. Too many of us are trying to get out of our mess so we can present ourselves to God. I can't come to church. I hear this all the time. I can't come to church because I got to get my life straight. Say, no, bro, humble yourself. He'll pick you up out of your mess. You don't need to pick yourself up. He wants to be the one who lifts you up. Listen, if you want God's favor, you want the yoke of the world to be broken off of you, and you want him to be the one who lifts you up, you got to walk in humility. How do you get humility? Every day, declare who he is in your life. Every day, say, God, I'm declaring this is who you are, your goodness. And this is why it brings forth humility, just so you guys know. Because I probably didn't make this clear. The reason why praise brings forth humility is because when you look at the greatness of God, it reveals the smallness of you. Amen. When you look at the greatness of God, it reveals the smallness of your issues. When you look at the greatness of God, it reveals the smallness of the things that, what's that called? I want to say develop. Perspective? No, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it does change your perspective. Yeah, yeah. No, consume your mind. Amen. When you focus on who God is, your worry and anxiety starts falling off of you. When you focus on the Lord, you stop focusing on you. Man, how many guys, your prayer life is all about you? But I need you to help me. I need you to help me. Switch it to praise. God, I know who you are. This is who you are. Everything else will be taken care of. You're the God who's my provider. You are my peace. You are my joy. All these worries and things I have, I'm going to praise you, God. And when that happens, humility seeps in. And when you get humility, God says, now you got my favor. Now you can be broken from the yokes. Now I will lift you up. Praising God gets you that, but that's not all. Do you know what else praise does? I love this. Come on. Oh, man. Flavia, I love you for coming up here and praise. We're going to talk about you in a second, girl. You stay right there. And you too, Bernita. Praise produces humility. We saw the benefits of that. Praise also produces thanksgiving. Psalms 107. When you look to God's attributes and his works, it makes you. You don't have a choice. You become thankful. You hear me? It makes you thankful. How many of you guys know people who are just always down and out, bumming? Oh, I just wish life could be better. It was just the cards I was dealt. I'm like this because my parents screwed me up, you know? Mm-mm. Check this out. Psalms 107, 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? For his mercy endures. For how long? Verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. I love this scripture. It says declare, right? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You know what he just did right there? He says, I'm going to give thanks because I'm praising his goodness. You see, giving thanks comes out of your praise. God, you are good. Thank you. God, you are my strong tower. Thank you. Lord, you are the Father who gives good gifts, and you call me son. Thank you. You see, every bit of your thanksgiving to God is going to have to start with praise first. You are my good Father. Thank you. You are the one who provided my children. That's who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Some of us are trying to be thankful with God, but we don't know how to praise him first. He's saying, if you want thanksgiving to enter in, you got to learn praise. I love this one. God, you know the stars in the sky by name, and you know the falling of the birds and the birth of the deer, as it says in Job. Yet you direct my steps. God, this is who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You see, praise produces thanksgiving. And now I want to talk to you about really quick what thanksgiving produces. I love this. Science tells us, the study of the brain, neuroscience tells us that it produces happiness. Bro, you know how sad we are? Look at your neighbor. Some of you guys aren't even smiling. You guys haven't smiled all day. You know, this is the first time. I'm looking at some of y'all. I'm afraid to look at you because you're not smiling right now. I didn't mean to talk about you. Studies show that it is not happiness that makes us thankful. It's thankfulness that brings happiness. Now, check this out. That's not the Bible. You guys give me more shouts when I read that. My golly. It says this, when we express gratitude, studies show that we receive the same. So when we express thanksgiving, thanksgiving's in our hearts. It says our brain releases dopamine and serotonin, two crucial neurotransmitters responsible for our emotions, which makes us feel good. They enhance our mood immediately, making us feel happy from the inside. Praise will make you thankful, which will make you happy. Some of us think that God wants you to be sad all the time. There's whole sects in Christianity that they beat themselves and they feel like they need to be miserable. And so they just destroy themselves. Did you know God created you to see his goodness and for it to change your life? Did you know that? That's why he created you as a vessel, that you see how good he is and that pours out of you happiness. You know what I love this though? You know what I love this so much? Is because I think that most of us are seeking happiness and we're seeking out this idea by gaining more things in our life. And sometimes that more is just more counsel. Sometimes that's more stuff. And God's going, the lack of happiness is because of your lack of thankfulness. Now, I don't like my marriage. I'm just unhappy in my marriage. Well, when's the last time you stopped and praised God for your marriage? It will turn your mind around. Glory. I got to hurry this up. It doesn't just produce happiness. I love this. Science shows us that thankfulness diminishes negative emotions like guilt and shame. Well, there's people, this is crazy talk, all right? You guys ready for some crazy talk? You could stone me after church if you think this is heresy. I'm reading scriptures. And listen, this is one of the biggest cycles. Every man and woman in here who's dealt with this habitual sin, you go through the same thing. You sin, you feel miserable, you're condemned for a few days, and as soon as you find that you're out of it, you fall right back into it. And it's the condemnation cycle that you're condemned and it's always on your mind. This is what happens. You sin, and then it's always on your mind, and you can't. And what happens is, as you set your mind to the thing that you hate, you go back to the thing that you hate. That's just common knowledge. What you set your mind to is where you'll go. And so the enemy's got a lot of us in a trap that you sin, you sit there and you think about how miserable it was, and you go back to it. And this is what scripture says about that. I'm sorry, this is what science says about that. It says those who continue to have gratitude, even when they don't feel like it, it says it increases a neural modulation of, you know, prefrontal cortex, you know, that stuff. The brain site, the part that it affects, is that as you produce thankfulness, that those things, shame and guilt, cannot exist in the same room. In fact, one of the quotes from one of the scientists is saying is this, that shame, guilt, and fear and loathing cannot exist in the same spot in your mind as thanksgiving. That either you're doing one or you're doing the other. That if you walk in thanksgiving, the other ones cannot enter in. Amen. Now, the reason why I said this is where you might want to stone me, you know what I started thanking God for? In that sin cycle, I sin, I'm condemned, I sin it again. I started sinning and going, God, thank you for revealing my heart. Amen. Now, I changed my condemnation into thankfulness. Can I tell you what happened? I didn't go back. I said, God, you revealed it to me. I give you thanks that you had mercy to show me that I had sin in my heart. Set me free. Forgive me. Don't get me wrong. I asked for forgiveness. I know what the scripture says. I confessed it. But man, once I started giving God thanks that he revealed it and he had mercy on me, can I tell you, everything changed. Happiness. And not just happiness, but it diminishes the negative as well. That's why you should praise God. It produces thanksgiving in your heart. Let me tell you what, something else that thanksgiving produces. Actually, no, I'm not. I lied to you. This is Naomi Williams. It is impossible to feel depressed and grateful at the same moment. 1 in 15 people right now in this room, by stats, says that you are clinically depressed. Science showed that Berkeley, the University of Berkeley, just did a study with mental health patients, not normal patients, patients who are dealing with depression and anxiety clinically. They did a whole research about gratitude. They had them write down every day, there's called a gratitude letter, and they write down what they're thankful for. As they wrote it down, they're watching the chemical reactions in their brain. And this is what they said. At the end of it, they had a control, which was nobody. They just did normal life. And then they had this other part of the group, all same kind of ideas, symptoms, and they wrote gratitude. And they saw an increase in serotonin and the other one, whatever it's called, dopamine, in their brain actively, even when they weren't giving thanks. So of course they say, wow, thanksgiving could be a huge cure for depression, clinical anxiety. But then it went further. They decided to wait 15 years after the study to go check back on those same people, 300 college students. You know what they found? The people who practiced thanksgiving for those 3 months in the study continued to have thanksgiving 15 years later, and the benefits were still upon them. And they asked them, are you still writing notes? They said, no. It changed their brain for a lifetime. I want to say this. Some of you guys have been stuck in thanks your entire life. And God's saying, once you start praising me and giving me thanks, I will transform your brain completely. Some of you guys go, that's just who I am. It's who you are because you aren't allowing thanksgiving into your heart. You got to be thankful. This is my last thing I got to go on. And this is where I'm going to end. Last thing about praising God. The last thing I got to pull out, it produces humility, which gives you God's favor. It produces humility, which breaks the yokes of the world. It produces humility, which gives you the opportunity to be lifted up by him. It produces thanksgiving, which produces happiness. It produces thanksgiving, which also produces the lack of, I should say, the guilt of shame. But lastly, when you praise God, if you're not convinced yet, Praise gives you strength. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you guys to open up your Bibles. This is my last verse, and we're going to close with some prayer and praise. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. Check this out. This is Paul writing, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, I'm pulling out the scripture saying, how in the world does this have anything to do? I want to tell you just really quick about Thanksgiving, because this is what Thanksgiving produces. I'm sorry, I misread my notes. Not only does it produce happiness and diminish guilt and shame, it produces strength. That scripture said, on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he gave thanks. Can I say that again? On the darkest, nastiest night in our Lord's life, he gave thanks.
Yes, Lord.
Whoa. I want to say that again. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord says that he gave thanks. I want to say this to a lot of us. Some of us don't have strength because we're so caught up and focusing on what's ahead of us and the worry and anxiety, and we forget to give thanks to God, which will give you strength in turn. You see, after that, Jesus leaves that place, and in his thanksgiving, this is what he does. He goes to the garden, and he says to the Lord, "Lord, if you could take this from me, do it. But you know what? Not my will, your will be done." He entered first with thanksgiving. You guys, this man right here is Chico. He's one of my old friends. I grew up with this guy. Hey, Chico. Hey, buddy. I feel like, Chico, we're at like a funeral for you. The music started as soon as you walked in. Yeah. I remember Chico when I was a kid. Check this out. You have a benefit in praising God. And I'm not going to sit here, because this is what I often do. I tell you, you need to do this. You need to do this. And I tell you about your pouring out, but I just want to remind you, God wants to pour into you. Humility, that you would walk out in his favor. He wants to pour into you thanksgiving, that you would, guys, that you would be happy. He created you that way. This isn't praise God because he just deserves it. He does. But he knows you're a vessel. He knows that you need to be filled up. And so he's looking at you today and saying, you know, you're having all these problems, but I never hear you praising my name. You're having all these struggles, but the truth is, I came through for you a million times. I'm never hearing you praise my name. And this is what the science says. This is what God said he created. He said, I want to make it so in my men and women study the brain, that they find I made them to be people who are created to praise me. That they would be people of joy and peace. I created them for that. I made it so their brain reacted in a way when they gave me thanks, they would be overcome with happiness. I made them in a way that when they praise my name, I would cause them to line up in truth with me. You see, the world writes all these studies and they say, you know, you just need to be thankful and you're thankful. The problem with the world is, if you're in the world, you start running out of things to be thankful for. You run out of things to praise. But when you are God's children, it's like it's unlimited. The dosage of praise you can take and say, God, there is no one like you. You are this good. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of service. Because there's something about praise that needs to be mentioned. Never in my life have I praised somebody by sitting quietly in front of them. Never. And we've done this thing that we think that we only speak up to men, but we never speak out loud to God. And we go, well, God knows my voice. Or, I'm sorry, God knows my thoughts, so that's okay. But the scripture says, man, write him a new song and sing it out loud. The scripture says, shout out his praises. The scripture says, go to the mountaintops and let the world know. And so I'm saying that because I want to go back just for a second, not just this morning, but every morning in your life. And we're going to gather together on Sundays every morning at 10 a.m. and we're going to praise him. But I want to talk about every morning. There's something that you are missing out on. You're missing out on his humility and the benefits of his grace. You're missing out on his happiness that he's provided for you. And all you have to do to get it is every morning you stop and you don't think it in your thoughts. There's nothing wrong with thinking in your thoughts, but there is something wrong with not ever opening up your mouth. Father, who is like you? I'm going to praise you. That means I'm going to declare who you are. I'm going to declare your goodness. I'm going to declare your attributes. You are strong, God. God, there is nothing that can stop you, God. Every morning, if you wake up and say, God, you are forever good, and your eyes are upon me. God, you know the hairs on my head. You know the name of every star. You place them there. It says in Job, Jesus, that you know every birth of every deer. You are involved in this place, God. You start praising them. You start saying things like it says in Job, that God, you declare, you know the depths of the sea. You know every creature on land. You know the depths of the galaxies, and you measure them by the palm of your hand. Already, I can feel it within me as I declare his goodness. Thanksgiving's coming upon me. You know the hairs on my head? Thank you, Jesus, for paying attention to me. Oh, you know the names of the stars in the sky, and you formed me in the womb. Thank you, Jesus. Let no one come in between what you brought together in marriage, Father, and you brought me together with my wife. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, as I start declaring his goodness and his praise and thanksgiving starts pouring out, I just want you to know the world starts to become real dull and diminished. I don't care about my problems anymore, God. I'm sitting before the one who has control. I'm sitting before the one who has all authority in this place. I'm not going to let my circumstances, what I see. I want to serve the unseen God. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you because of your goodness. I praise you because of what you've done in my life. You know what's great about praise? Is once you get past not saying it. I want to talk about Bernita for a second. Bernita, I'm going to use you. Look at her stand up. I love Bernita. She was in our new members class. And we talked about, hey, why are you serving the Lord? If you haven't done a new members class, I want you to do one. Even if you're a member, you didn't do the classes, do it. It's awesome. We said, Bernita, tell us about your story and where God's taking you. And she said, I love this quote. She said, I shout and I praise in church. And sometimes I think I shouldn't do that because no one else around me is doing it. And if you're in church, and she says, usually right back here, you'll hear her, come on, yes, Lord. And she'll be shouting. But she said, but you know what I realized? Because every time that thought comes in and tells me to be quiet, I realize I used to shout and scream on the street, and God's been so good to me, he deserves my shout and scream in church. So if you've ever been curious about why Bernita sits in here and shouts and screams, it's because she knows how good God is, and she says, I don't care what anyone else thinks. I got to shout for him. You know what's cool about that? Because I didn't even hit on this part, and I should have. Praise is so stinking contagious. It's just like gossip's contagious, praise is contagious. I came in church today, and I sat in the back for the majority of the worship service because I wanted to see what was going on in church. And Bernita was sitting right here. Can I sit by you? Bernita was sitting right here, and this is what she was doing. Hey, yeah, yeah, hey. And this is what I noticed about Bernita doing that. These guys right here, every one of them, these guys back here, I was watching them. They were standing there, and all of a sudden they're doing this. Now, I'm saying that for real. Now, I'm not dissing you guys. I'm not dissing you guys. In fact, I'm going to call you guys up. I'll watch this corner over here. And it wasn't a diss on you guys. We just weren't doing what Bernita was doing. You guys were quiet people. And I'm with that. I respect the quietness. But this whole group stood like this, and the whole group stayed standing like this. It wasn't bad. But you know one person starts standing up and saying, I'm going to praise him. One person starts saying, I'm going to praise him. You know what happens in your home? You know what happens in your row at church? All of a sudden they go, I got to praise him too. Look at his goodness. Why did I go down that line? I don't know. But praise is contagious. You start doing it at home, all of a sudden that's all you want to say to God. God, I got to praise you. When you start feeling the benefits, all of a sudden you go, I can't live without praising the Lord first and foremost. All of a sudden you're at church and you go, I don't care who's around me. I got to dance before him because I see how great he is. He is worthy of my humility to dance before him. So church, praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know why it says that? Man, I sing songs to this day. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I always wonder, what are they talking about? What are you talking about? You know, let the redeemed of the Lord talk about his goodness. I will praise you because of your goodness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I want to say this in here. Everybody here, you can praise the Lord because he's been good to you. And he's saying, if you praise me, I will benefit you. Now praise me. Dad said it before in the beginning of service, it lined up perfectly. We're not willing always to pay the price for what God has. We say, God, we want joy and peace. He says, follow my spirit. I talked about this last week. He's a covenant God. It's you come here and I will come to you. You draw unto me and I will draw unto you. All of his promises are, if you walk in integrity, then I will be your shield. If you follow my spirit, then I will give you peace. You give me thanksgiving and I will give you peace, by the way. That's what he says. This is the God we serve. Now, how many of you are ready to start praising God for a little bit? What we're going to do, just for 1 minute, 1 minute. Now, I'm going to encourage everybody in here. I'm going to encourage you that you participate. What I mean by participate, I mean open up your mouth. And you can close your eyes. I don't want you to worry about anybody else. The more you start speaking, the more humble you'll become. And this is what happens in humility. You stop caring what other people think about you. So I want us just for a moment, can we just do that? Everybody in this place, can you just start praising God right now and declaring his goodness? Go ahead. Just go ahead. Everyone, lift up your voice. Don't let it be quiet. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to just have that benefit by myself. I want to be the happiest church in the world. I want to be a part of the most peaceful church in the world. Come on, start telling them what he's done for you. Lift up your voice. Don't do it quietly. Come on, don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Lift up your voice. He's been good to you. He's been good to you. He's been good to you. Don't just sit there quietly. Don't let your voice not move. Come on. Come on, Teresa. He's done more than just that. He's worthy of way more praise. He's worthy of way louder voice, Rashawn. He's been really good to you. Come on, start declaring his goodness. It's not just a clap. You start telling him, God, this is who you are. This is who you are. Come on, William. He's been good to you, bro. You start telling him, God, you have been my mighty rock. You're the one who brought me into this marriage. You're the one who made me this father. You declare it, bro, and let his blessings pour out. Now, hey, you guys can stay there. You can stand up, too. I want to say this. There's a whole other sermon. I went so long today. There's a whole other sermon I want you to go find online. It's called Not Letting the Rocks Cry Out. It's another sermon I preached on the same topic. I talked about your well of praise. Listen, right now I've been praising God almost every day I can. And now I feel like I could praise him for 2, 3, 4 hours straight, not having to take a break. And I know in this room a lot of us are going, man, I'm having a hard time praising more than just a few minutes. But start making it your practice, because there's a power that you haven't tapped into yet. There's something you haven't met yet. You've been desiring freedom from the world and joy and happiness. And he says, it's in my praise. It's in my praise. Let's bow our heads. Father, Father, you are the God of all creation. It says in scriptures that you formed us in the womb. Father, you knew our days and times of our birth. You knew our name before even our parents existed, God. God, you know everything about us. Yet, Father, you look at us, God. You're so mighty. You know everything. Yet you say in scriptures that you bottle up every tear of our eyes. You care, Jesus. And God, today, Father, in this room, we want to say thank you. Oh, who is like you, God? But we have our mind consumed with things to be mad about and upset about. But God, you're saying, I created you to be people of thanksgiving, people of praise. So, Father, we come to you and say, yes, Lord, let our wells, dig up our wells of praise. Let us be people who can praise you all day and all night. Let us be like David, who says in Scripture, I meditate on your word and your goodness. Father, we praise you.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar advances the kingdom of God. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.